Namaste, welcome back to part two of the homework this week. So we'll continue. So the first one says, wow, I'm loving myself. On paper, I messed up big time this week with the belief it will go wrong. I ended up having a professional phone call and just saying my mistake and apologizing. We were both so relieved that I was incorrect, as it would have meant more work, that we ended up laughing. I didn't cringe once. I reminded myself to check carefully next time and then rejoiced at seeing this belief. I can see that this seeming error had to occur for me to see it. I didn't blame myself. In the past, I would have probably cried and most definitely have berated myself. More loving going on. I can see where family members and friends believe this and that it's appearing in their lives. I didn't feel an urge to help them. I just know that by loving them in the knowing that they are perfect as the self is all that's needed. Knowing the ego and self are all self has been seen so much more deeply. Soothing myself in the love is perfect for my life. Some issues have appeared for me to look at. I look at the belief as best as I can and totally accept it as okay to not want the feelings or physical manifestation whilst rejoicing at what is leading whilst rejoicing at what it is leading me to. Much love. So this is really really good that you're seeing this deeper, and you can see by the response to this situation happening just how much you're transcending this belief that there's something wrong with you, there's something going to go wrong, I'm going to do something wrong, that even when this mistake has happened, that it's become a source of something to see and love, hasn't it? And isn't it nice to be able to just look at something that's happened like that and go, why did I do that? That's weird, you know, and it's not really the crushing thing that it used to be. Yes, it'd be nice if it didn't happen again, obviously. Like you said, you remind yourself to see next time to look clearer. But you don't allow this moment to be only a negative thing, you know. It's just opportunity to expand, isn't it? And that is wonderful. It gets clearer and clearer that you are able to love unconditionally and conditionally at the same time, right? Totally accepting this is the way it played out, and at the same time hoping it's different next time, wanting it to be different. And that's okay. That's perfect balance. And that is how you get what you want next time, isn't it? Clearer and clearer. And just keep soothing yourself. Don't let the ego define these things. Okay, this means I'm still not doing it right or something. It's just an echo of the old manifestation, isn't it? The way that we were seeing something showing up for us. Just a lag or a lapse, basically, because we're still slightly believing this belief. It shows up in a way. What we do with it when it shows up in the reflection and the manifestation is going to determine the very next manifestation, isn't it? So wonderful, wonderful progress. Keep going. Okay, next one. Hi, Helen. The more and more I do the homework this month, and it has a soothing effect, the more it is seen that the personality or ego is simply a mask the noumenon is wearing. And because the noumenon is not affected by this mask, it has no preference to get rid of it. Because in the end, there is no mask even. There is only the noumenon playing at the role of this person. So this body-mind still has many of the same personality quirks and preferences, but now they are realized to be inextricably attached to the infinite one. They are the same being. Question. I've heard from spiritual teachers and awakened beings that when the ego dissolves, it is like something has dropped away, or it is a subtraction rather than addition. But it's not that anything is being rejected, taken away, or dropped and left behind. The way you describe it is like a sugar lump being dissolved in a cup of coffee. Nothing is being added or subtracted. It's only changing form and changing or dissolving into a form that no longer fights against life. Seems to have an energetic effect on this physical body. And one uses words like liberation joy, peace, and bliss to describe this effect. But going back to the point of my question, nothing is ever really dropped, subtracted, or rejected. Not even belief in the ego is rejected, because even belief is the noumenon as well and cannot reject. And it cannot reject any part of itself, correct? Thanks so much, love. So yeah, the only thing in the end that gets dropped is the pushing against something, isn't it? The only thing that gets, what actually falls away is your ability to reject anything at all. And that's happening at an increasing rate, that we less and less want to label something, more and more we just want to experience it. And when we just experience it from and as the self, then there's no need to push or grab a hold of. And that was really the only thing that fell away for me, this kind of holding this moment at arm's length, you know, just in case it contained something dangerous or something like that. For me, what I did call my ego, you know, mind, using that faculty to, is still alive and strong now. Like I go to the shop and choose if I want this brand of tea or something else, or do I like white bread or brown bread? Do I prefer sugar in my tea or not? You know, those kind of discernments and judgments and preferences are absolutely fine. That's what ego does so well. You know, should I take this route to where I want to be? Because it might be shorter, but there might be more traffic. So maybe I'll go the slightly longer route, but it'd be quicker. That's all fine, isn't it? The only thing that changed or dropped away for me was the solidity, the set ways of thinking of ego. And it becomes open and light and an expression, a vehicle of the self, the shape that the self is taking as this individual, and that can help express the purpose of that being, what they're really here to contribute and create and give, and to help experience joy. So it sometimes feels like a subtraction. There's some things you can't do anymore as the self, which is to reject anything or anyone. In that way, it's a subtraction. But actually, that's a huge addition, as you've pointed to, that I can finally experience everything and everyone as they really are. And when I find something I can't experience as it really is, I tend to think about it. I'm really open to begin to do that. So it could be a subtraction or an addition, whichever way. For me, it's more like a upgrade, a shift, expansion. It really wasn't this horrible apocalyptic annihilation event that my ego had been forecasting. At some point, the self's going to come back and be really cross with the mess I've made of my life and just stamp all over it. You know, that's kind of what. Meanwhile, the self just lovingly watches ego do those things, have that opinion. It's not really caring in that way, is it? It's not able to reject anything. And that's the falling away right there, the subtraction. The way we reject something is by thinking about it, labeling it. And the way that falls away is just to really directly experience it. That's what the noumenon does. And then it becomes much, much clearer. So I hope that helps. Not even the belief in ego is rejected. They just seem to be the same, aren't they? Like you've said, they seem to be one. And then there's nothing to drop. How can I reject ego when it is me? It's the self. And that's like, from that place, it has to become this fluid thing. Instead of this rigid, set thing. You know, all my opinions about life and myself and the universe become much more fluid, wonderful, and functional. Next one. Dear Helen, this month I decided to listen every day to the lesson to get it drilled into my being. I've noticed that there are many thoughts, sometimes a little bit of uncomfortableness, but in general, I am not disturbed. Some of the areas where I find myself not loving me are, if I were more intelligent, wiser, spontaneous, and brighter at work. They make this body feel angry and constricted, like a desperation for not being able to reach where the mind says. This lesson seems so vital, yet the question or doubt that keeps coming for me is, who rejects? What does not include? Is it ego at the same time doing two tasks at a time? Also, I wonder if I've not been able to experience myself because, as you mentioned in the class, what you have been experiencing are the ideas and beliefs of the body-mind, all body-mind. So let me read that bit again, sorry. What you have been experiencing are the ideas and beliefs of the mind-body, all body-mind. Then how can I be free at once and for good from this loop and the endless, inclusive and open, willing and curious and loving noumenon? Please guide me, Helen. Thank you so much for awakening us to our true nature. So, it's not so much ego doing two tasks at once. It's more like right now you're experiencing yourself as unconditionally loving, unconditionally loving. There's doubts and fears in certain areas, conditional love still. There's also unconditional acceptance of those already from the silence that you are, silence of being. So it's not that ego has two modes. It's just really seeing that ego is assumptions, a bunch of assumptions, isn't it? Contractions and doubts and fears and all of that. And that self is the same as ego, but it's expressing itself in an ever greater way, more unconditionally loving way. So, who rejects? It's the self rejecting when it thinks it's a separate being, because it rejects this thing that it thinks is other than it. Usually that's some emotion, something that we've created, some experience, some memory, some thought pattern, all of that. That's what rejects. When it thinks it's a separate being, it rejects and it grabs. That's that top dualistic mechanism of ego. And when it's seen itself to be, or that part of us that has always been untouched and unblemished, it cannot reject. So the self, it may seem really paradoxical that it's already perfect. There's nothing ever to fix about it, nor could there ever be. And that perfection can also experience itself as imperfection and conditional love and all of that stuff. So it's experiencing itself two ways at the same time, always. In any judgmental thought we have about ourselves, for example, there's always the unconditional acceptance of that judgmental thought from the silence, the awareness. It's just watching that, isn't it? It's not judging. So both are present at all times, conditional love and unconditional love. We're just coming to put attention on unconditional love also in this lesson. Normally our attention is trained just to go to ego and the things that are going wrong or where we're judging and doubting, etc., all of that. How can I be free? I would say that you are already moving into freedom. I don't think you need to worry about this. You will be aware of some areas in your life where you're still experiencing through thoughts, and that's fine. It's just an openness to see that more and move beyond it, isn't it? Don't think of it as an absolute, I'm either believing thoughts or I'm not. It's just like gradually more and more we're coming out of experiencing ourselves through thoughts. We're coming out of experiencing ourselves through these beliefs. More and more, and coming to recognize that we are also already able right now to see without any thoughts. How does the awareness see this? How does the presence feel about this emotion? How does the self feel about this experience? You know, that kind of thing. But for you, directly for you, I want you to really... I'd like you to spend some time looking at, accepting how far you've already come. You are looking for evidence that you're not there yet. And I want you to look for evidence that you are where you want to be already. And that will change everything. It's powerful. All of us can do this, in fact. We're very good at finding the evidence of where we're not succeeding at awakening. Ask to be shown the areas where you've already transcended, but you focus on how far you've come, and something surprising is going to happen with that. Just don't believe the assumption completely that this is all you are and this is only as far as you've come, etc. What if you were as awakened as the Buddha right now, but are insisting that you're not? If you're insisting that you're not, are you really going to be able to see evidence that that belief is wrong, that insistence is wrong? We have to really cultivate an openness to see what might be actually already so about us and yet be denying because we keep selecting evidence from experiences, reframing experiences, memories, emotions to fit with this belief. There's always two ways to see anything that's happened, to remember anything that's happened, at least two ways, probably more. So I hope that helps to help you move forward with it. Okay, so moving on. Two more to go. Hi, Helen. I'm so excited to share that I saw the beliefs, emotions, and experiences all one, that I was never really loved were never true. Without going into the story of how this realization happened, I can feel it in every particle of my being that love is, has, and will always be present, even if it doesn't seem like it. No matter how much it seemed to be withheld or never allowed to flow in that moment. The water in a river is always water, whether it's flowing down the river or stagnant. Love, unconditionally or seemingly otherwise, is the very fabric of existence. So, profound seeing and a gateway, isn't it, to recognize that if all there is love, then everything I think I've experienced where I experienced something other than that was never really how it actually was. Maybe my whole life I've been seeing these things through the filter of a belief, my experiences through the filter of a belief. And what if I've never really experienced reality, the reality that love is all there is? It's powerful, isn't it? A wonderful seeing. No matter how much, as you said here, no matter how much it seemed to be withheld or never allowed to flow in that moment, it always was. This is so shocking when you grasp it, isn't it? That I've been utterly wrong my entire existence. My whole narrative for myself was I'm not good enough, I'm not safe. I certainly can't get what I want. I don't deserve to be loved. I don't deserve to have happiness, all of that. And that just became clearer and clearer that that was true for me. And when I really look back, as I was saying about the unsafeness in the story I told about the motorway accident, it was stunning to me, shocking, when it was revealed that I must be willing to see evidence to the contrary or else I'm never going to be able to break through. What if what I'm certain of right now, so certain of, as I was just saying with the previous homework, that I haven't broken through. What if I have, but I keep experiencing being stuck or something like that? How would I even know if I've broken through or not? How would I even know what really happened to me when I was a child, actually, or my adult life, or wherever we're pointing to? If I've only ever been looking through this filter of the belief, it's powerful, isn't it, when you see it? Shocking as well, in a good way. And the more we can cultivate openness, you know, in some moment where something happens and there's a real sense of injustice or unfairness or anger or something, or some deep, deep, deep fear, anxiety, panic rising, there's something really believes, my body's telling me right now, something really feels the conviction of this belief, how true it is. All I've got to do is be willing to see it may be the complete opposite of what I'm certain of. It may be. And that willingness, that openness is allows this kind of seeing to happen. Beautiful, beautiful. Keep looking, keep going deeper with it as always. And let me know what happens. Okay, so last one. Hi, Helen, and thank you for helping me to look at the subject of unconditional love more closely. I'm aware I've had a bit of a block around these words, but with some perseverance now, can now see that really allowing or approving of myself at all times is really what this means. But it is more easy to say this than to do it. I can see a lifetime of being hard on myself and really worrying what others think is not something to undo right away, especially as there are strong beliefs around how I need to treat myself and what I disapprove of in my behavior and thinking patterns. I can believe, though, that love can conquer all. My question is this: is love of myself the same as forgiving myself? And if so, if there are no others, then is forgiving others the same as forgiving myself? As in fact, all others are me disguised as others. Hope I'm making some sense. Much gratitude. So the first thing I want to say here is that you said it's more easy to say this than to do it. But that lifetime of habits and ways of thinking about yourself, you don't have to battle them. When they play, they play. I'm asking you to stop trying to change those. Also, you know, I can have this real strong judgment about myself arise in a moment. And I can also, after the initial wave of that judgment has passed, ask if there's a different way to see this moment or this judgment. Is there a higher way right now to perceive this experience I'm having that I've just judged myself for? Is there a higher way to perceive myself in this moment also in addition to this judgment? So you're not trying to get rid of that. In fact, it never matters if those ever go, because you're going to be opening up more to this other way also. You can have this conditional love and unconditional love going on at the same time. And the unconditional love gradually overrides and dissolves the conditional love. Conditionally loving aspects of ego dissolve, but not because we're trying to get rid of them anymore. It is hard, and it takes a long time to change the mind's beliefs and patterns if we're waiting for that to happen first. If we are asking if there's another way to see this already right now, even with ego's beliefs in place, that's immediately possible and probable and certain. And then the mind's stubborn patterns of thinking begin to dissolve. So I just ask you to kind of look at that. It cannot be difficult to unconditionally love yourself in this moment if you are already the unconditional love. It mustn't be difficult to allow that. We do not have to, and I really want to say this clearly so everyone can hear, and it's impossible to get rid of. You do not have to, and it's impossible to get rid of the conditionally loving ego first. Choose the unconditional love also in addition to, as well as. And then, so some judgment arises about myself. Okay, that's conditional love. What's the unconditionally loving version of this too? Not pushing against that, but also wanting to upgrade. I'll upgrade my self-definition in this moment too. So you've got like two opinions of yourself going on at the same time, and it's fine. It's absolutely fine. And then the conditionally loving thoughts begin to diminish because you're not pushing against them finally. There's a huge fundamental difference here in what we're saying, isn't there? That one is impossible to do. If I try to get rid of conditional love before I allow unconditional love to blossom, I will never succeed, because trying to get rid of something is conditional love. Allowance and acceptance of what is right now, also looking for a higher way, is unconditional love in this moment. That is it. But to your question, forgiveness is the recognition ultimately that there's nothing to forgive, that everything I ever did, wanted, said, shouldn't have said, all of that stuff, I did from what I thought, those actions, those words, those things were based on what I thought was true at the time. And we cannot act differently than we do from the belief pattern that we have. It's not possible. Only once we transcend into a higher place do we have access to different thoughts, words, and actions. So forgiveness is really this understanding crystallizing, isn't it? Nobody can be different in this moment than they are. As much as our mind would like to insist that it's possible, it really isn't. And it's pointless to push against that. And that's the forgiveness really blossoming. And it's possible in any moment at all, completely. Forgiving others is the same as forgiving yourself. But we used to actually do a forgiveness course. And one of the things I used to say was that not forgiving someone is like someone's done something to you that they wronged you, for example. If you're not forgiving them, if you're holding on to resentment or something about them, or the sense that it shouldn't have happened, then you're holding this hot coal in your hand and it's burning you. Not burning them, it's burning you. You cannot blame or project or hate or judge yourself without it affecting others. You cannot judge, blame, hate, and project onto others without it hurting you. It's impossible. Because even though we're convinced we're separate beings until we're not, we never were. So if I'm shouting at the TV at some person I see on the TV that I really strongly hate, I am going to feel it inside myself. And I'm going to, if I love and accept unconditionally that person, even though I don't like them or agree with what they're saying or doing or something, I understand their essence is the same as mine and that their love, the love that they naturally are, is being disallowed so that it looks like, you know, some very egotistical, narcissistic behavior, perhaps. As I understand that more, that they can't be different than they are in this moment, then I'll feel the benefit of that in myself. There's only the one, isn't there? And all others are disguised, are me disguised as others. When you really get this, that I'm hurting, if I'm rejecting myself, I'm hurting those around me. And in fact, all of humanity on a very subtle level, because all humanity is me. If I'm accepting myself and loving myself, that's been broadcast to all of humanity. I might be loving myself and judging myself at the same time. They can be both, as I was just saying. But the strongest, powerful energy field is going to emanate, ripple out through humanity, all of it. All of us, the one of us. That if I love myself, I'm automatically loving all beings. It's one and the same in the end. If I love, there was a weird point in my awakening where I began to focus on the person that hated me the most, that had the most violent, rejecting opinions of me, a particular being who shall remain nameless, but was very verbal in their opinions about my spiritual teaching and my lack of ability to do so. So for a short time, I really focused on them. You know, that's not literally physically, I didn't speak to them or anything, but I really began to, if I can love and forgive and unconditionally accept this being, then I'm really going to be getting somewhere in my own self-love. And I really began to see I can't continue to push them away without hurting myself, without feeling it inside my own being. Because that person really was not bothered what I thought about them, didn't care at all whether I loved them or hated them. It wasn't hurting them, it was hurting me. So I spent some real time coming to love this being from a distance, a great distance, but really wanting to understand and seeing that all their ideas about me were based on their projections about me. And it was a really transformative thing in itself. I'm not suggesting that we take our worst enemy or something, but although it's not a bad thing to do spiritually, if you look at that spiritually, the most awakened being in your experience is always reflecting back to you the upside of your being, and the most unenlightened or living from separation. Most negative being is always reflecting back to you what you still need to look at. So in the end, this is where we come to embrace humanity, because doesn't mean like them all. You wouldn't want to be in a room with all of them, but the essence of them is the same, and you see that they can't be different than they are in this moment, and it's only our mind that would suggest otherwise. It's literally not possible. Absolutely not possible. So when you really grasp this, I can't have judgments about others only. There might be judgments, but I'm also going to ask what the higher way to see this is. The unconditionally loving way to see this is also that your whole outer experience is going to begin to change in a very profound way, because it doesn't matter which body, mind, vehicle you're loving, it's you anyway, isn't it? And it doesn't matter which body, mind, vehicle you're rejecting, it's all you. And it's going to hurt inside this body, mind, if I reject anyone. I'm also going to feel the benefit inside this body, mind, if I love anyone in particular. As I forgive someone else, I feel a benefit here. And in the end, none of what I thought really happened, I can really say with any certainty happened, because it's all being perceived through my filters of beliefs. So forgiveness begins right there in that. Exciting epiphany you're having there. So I'm excited to see where that goes. And as the month continues, this study. Yeah, wonderful. Lovely. So we'll leave it there for today's homework and this week's homework. Just a reminder to try to get it in before midnight UK time, which is 7 p.m. Eastern time on a Sunday evening, UK midnight time, or else it goes into next week's, which is fine. So just so you know. Thank you.